20. And we're looking at verse number 14. That's what we've been focusing on and learning about. Hopefully, we're looking at the negative words used in Scripture that apply to what we're seeing here in the Bible. So hopefully tonight we finish with the negative part. And next week, planning to get started on the positive part that God wants us to do. Not just what He doesn't want us to do, but what He does want us to do. You know, the good thing about God is that He doesn't always say what He doesn't like, but He also tells you what He does like. So He gives you something to replace those things with, which I'm glad of. Verse number 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. And we started this a couple weeks ago with the looking at the study of the right morals in our Christian living and the Ten Commandments, God's moral law. Well, we get to the morals, and morals is simply our conduct or social behavior along with other people, other human beings. There are right morals and there are wrong morals. Right morals help protect us, protect our family, protect the things that God would have us to be a part of. Wrong morals confuse, dull, and truthfully, they destroy. They destroy. There's people that are hurting today simply because they had a wrong moral, started that way. And we're going to look at tonight how maybe that starts in our heart and mind, or can start, and where it can lead to destruction in relationships. So we looked at biblical definitions of wrong morals: adultery, physical unfaithfulness with your spouse, sin against God and marriage. It's God's commandment, but it also is kind of the umbrella that prohibits all sexual sins. He does not say in the Ten Commandments as distinct as they can be. He does not talk about some of the other things like we're going to look at here in fornication. But certainly, God does not want anyone to commit sin, more immoral, wrong morals sexually. And He's talking about here starting out with adultery. Fornication, we've looked at that. In Scripture, that's a pretty common name as well. Mainly, it is used in the Old Testament to talk about forsaking God for idols, abandoning God and following after idols. You can see where God uses, and the New Testament uses that word to describe the immoral relationship that can come about if we allow it. What is fornication? We saw this. It's mainly forsaking God for idols. It's sexual sin outside of heterosexual marriage. It's a passion for extramarital relationships. It's also covers those that are acts of homosexual activity. It also covers acts of incest. We spent a lot of time reading Leviticus 18 last week. And then acts of bestiality. Let's just very quickly go over these last two verses here. Leviticus 18, let's go there. And that covers kind of where we stopped. And then we'll go to the next thought. Leviticus 18, verse 23. Here's what it says in the Old Testament. Only a few verses in the Bible. I think there's four altogether that directly talk about this. But in the New Testament, we'll see that the sin itself can be clumped in with simply just giving ourselves over to the things of the flesh. Verse number 23. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. In the book of Exodus chapter 22, God's judgment on this was death. You're not allowed to go through therapy. it was a death sentence if this sin was committed. Let's go to the New Testament, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And we actually will look at this as well tonight, a little bit expanded, but Colossians 3, verse number 5. Somebody gets there, go ahead and read that for us. Colossians 3, 5.
Mortify therefore your members which are upon earth, fornication, uncleanliness, effeminacy,
concupiscence is how you say that. Evil concupiscence. And we're going to look at that tonight.
Which is idolatry.
So the bestiality would be under this one, inordinate affection. Inordinate affection would be passions, sinful passions, etc. Could cover anything that's not a part of God's plan, but certainly acts of bestiality, old and new, God condemns. Let's go ahead and pray before we go any further and finish off these last couple of terms that Scripture talks about and are even in this verse. But let's go ahead and pray, and we'll ask God to help us before we go any further. Lord, as we study these things, we're not studying them to learn how to do them. We understand that, Lord. We're studying to show and learn how to not do them. And I pray you'd help us, not only for ourselves, but how can we be good counselors and helpers to others, Lord, who might be trapped in these kinds of things through thoughts, through relationships, and show them the love of God can reach down, touch our lives, and change the way we see things and think to a way that's right, to a way that's moral and honoring to God. Help us, Lord, to make that establishment and that stand even tonight. Use these things that we learn, Father, for your honor and glory, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go ahead and look at Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. And if I could get some help with some other verses, Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, who would take Galatians 5? All right, Aaron's going to read Galatians 5, 19. And then Jude and verse 4. Jude and verse 4, who would take Jude 4? And Daryl's going to read that. Thank you. Then Romans 7, verses 7 and 8. Romans 7, 7 and 8. All right, thank you. Isaac? And Matthew 5, 27 and 28. Matthew 5, 27 and 28. Vicky's got that. Thank you. Galatians 5, 16 and 17, if we all take help out, we can get through this tonight. Who would take Galatians 5, 16 and 17? Thank you. Abigail got that. Thank you. Then we have James 1, James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Patsy, thank you. And then the final one. Can we have someone? 1 John 2, verse 16 and 17. 1 John 2, verse 16 and 17. Thank you. Luke's got that one. All right, if you're with me, you're in Mark chapter 7. That's where we're looking at this moment. Mark chapter 7, the Bible uses this word. Let me start here, verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Who's telling us this right here? Jesus is telling us. If anybody knows the heart of men, it's Jesus. And he knows this is possible in our hearts. It comes in from the inside. And he uses this word lasciviousness as part of the list there. Lasciviousness is this. It is looseness or uncontrolled lust short of intercourse between people not married to each other. Lasciviousness, lust uncontrolled, short of intercourse. So it's in control only in the sense that it does not make it to that next step of sexual intercourse, but it certainly leads up to it. And Jesus says this is something that comes from the heart. We can blame everybody else, but God says it's something that's inside man that takes its root, and we have to get it out. Galatians 5, 19. Did I give that to someone's got that right? Okay, Aaron, I'm sorry. Thank you, sir.
Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, Lasciviousness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's it. Lasciviousness. And there's other things on the list there too. But the idea is it's from the flesh. It's from our own heart. If we don't get it changed, direction, God says this is a possibility. It's an uncontrolled lust short of having intercourse. Number two, it's lust that blinds, this is the blank, lust that blinds the mind to God's appropriate physical and sexual behavior in relationships. Let's go back to Genesis, Genesis 19. It's lust that blinds the mind. This is the way it's supposed to be. The New Testament might put it this way, a conscience that is seared, it's hardened, it's blinded. Genesis 19, let me read verse 4 and 5. So we see some examples here in the Old Testament. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round both old and young, all the people from every quarter. So we're talking here about who lived in Sodom, by the way, in the Old Testament. Lot did. And angels, God sent angels, and I believe one of them was the Lord Jesus, to visit him and warn him, you need to get out. We're going to destroy the city. He did not want to do that. When the visitors came, these guys gathered around the house. We're at verse number 5. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door. I'm sorry, let me read verse 5. I didn't finish. Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And that's a phrase in Scripture that means to have physical sexual relationship with someone, to know them. It's not always wrong. A husband can know his wife, but here obviously it is wrong because these men had no right and it's not part of God's plan for mankind. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. Here we see lasciviousness, it's lust that blinds the mind. Literally, a few minutes later, these guys were blinded. So they weren't allowed to accost the men of God. But here we see they just didn't seem to get it. And it's amazing that the Bible says the men all over the city, both old and young. It's a sad commentary. And what did God do to Sodom and Gomorrah, the surrounding cities? He destroyed them, and there's nothing left. God certainly has a hatred for this type of sin in the hearts of men. 2 Samuel 13, let's go there. 2 Samuel and chapter 13. Again, we see another example of blindness to the appropriate relationship between men, women, and otherwise. Verse number 1, 2 Samuel 13. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. And let me read verse 3, because this is one of the sadder verses in Scripture. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. Here's a man, Amnon, who had a wrong desire. It did not become a sinful act until he put it out there and accosted her. We believe, according to the way the Scripture is written, he forced her to have sexual relationships with him, but it blinded, his own mind was blinded to the appropriateness of their relationship. Of course, this wrong relationship was incest, sadly. Ephesians chapter 4, let's go there. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 17. Starting verse 17, reading down to verse 20. Just follow along. I'll read these for us. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their, what's the last word? Mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance of that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ." Very clear here in the book, in Ephesians 4, how a lasciviousness can affect a person, certainly one without Christ. The minds are blinded, the Bible says. By the way, who helps blind the minds of the unsaved? Another letter that Paul wrote, he shares that. That would be Satan. That would be Satan. Blinds the minds, not the eyes, the mind, to the truth and right relationships God has. And Ephesians 4 spells it out very clearly. Jude and verse 4 talks about, last thought on this, lasciviousness.
"For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning to the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ."
Okay, thank you very much. Even the New Testament church was seeing false teachers trying to get in and share these types of things, that, hey, it's okay. It's okay to go along with the rest of the culture. God's not going to judge you harshly on that, and the Bible's pretty clear. This is sin. God doesn't want it in our lives. He doesn't want it in our minds. He wants us to focus on Him. Lasciviousness can lead to great destruction. Final word we want to look at here in the Scriptures in regards to the wrong morals is concupiscence, and we read it a little bit earlier. Let's go back to that. Colossians chapter 3. Couple pages over here. Colossians 3. Concupiscence. What it is, the word that's translated concupiscence is the Greek word is used several times in the New Testament. Here it is translated concupiscence. In other places it's translated something else, but all give us an idea of what it means. Let me share with you, first of all, a definition. It's a strong, sinful desire, very simply put. A strong sinful desire. Romans chapter 7, verse 7 and 8 tells us it's a desire for unlawful objects, and we'll hear about what that is in Romans 7.
"What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin taking occasion by the commandment,
Okay, thank you. So concupiscence is used there, and it's reference to, or it's like, I should say, it's under covetousness. That's the blank. Covetousness, wanting something, desiring something that is not lawful to have. And we've already looked at, I should say, I think that's the next thing on the Ten Commandments. But it certainly is against God's desire for you and me to want something that's not lawfully for us to have. It can be an object. In Colossians 3, it is people. Take a look at verse number 4. Colossians 3, and read verses 4 through 7. The Bible says again, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify," what does mortify mean, by the way? Means to put to death, to kill it. "Therefore, your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." Verse 7, "in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them." Here, Paul is writing to the church in Colossae, he's writing to believers, and he said, but you have done this. you know what this is about. It's time to make sure you don't do it again. You know, there's forgiveness for it, and God does forgive it, but he does not want you to continue in it. That's what his point is here in Colossians. The list was with wrong sexual desires toward people. That's the blank, toward people. Wanting what is not lawfully our own. Jesus uses this word, epithumia, describing the sexual desires for another outside the bonds of marriage. Vicki has this one, Matthew 5, 27 and 28. Okay, thank you. Jesus is putting it out there pretty strongly, isn't he? And you've read this verse, you know this verse is in Scripture. And just because it says a woman, it doesn't mean only men can lust in their heart to do this. But Jesus is pretty clear. The sin that God wants to hear about from us and cleanse us from is not just what we do, but what goes on in the mind too, what goes on in the heart. Jesus uses this, it's a sexual desire for another outside of the bonds of marriage. Now let me ask you this, and I think we talked about this a little bit last time. If that does happen in my heart, I see somebody, it's not my wife, she's attractive, I think, and I have that thought, does that make me an adulterer that I need to stand before my church and ask them forgiveness for adultery? Where did the sin occur? Occurred in the heart. And who can see my heart? Now, like Brother Jess, you know, even though we can go through surgery, you still don't see the heart that Jesus is talking about. It's the will, the emotions, the desires. Only God, and I know that. So we can settle that by confessing to Him. But if I act on that, okay, the desire's there, the strong sinful desire, concupiscence, then I begin to act on it. I get lascivious. I change the fact that, well, that's not lawfully for me to do, but you know what, it's okay because maybe it's not going to hurt my marriage if we get in a relationship. Lasciviousness, you see the progression here. Then I get to the point where I want to make it physical. Approach this person, say, hey, what do you think about this? And whatever the case ends up being, fornication. And then because I am married, it becomes adultery. The idea is it starts right here. It starts here. And it's got to be stopped here so that it doesn't end up out here. That's what Jesus' point was. And certainly before God, we need to ask His help and forgiveness of that when it happens. And then thank Him. Amen? Yeah. Thank Him for His forgiveness. Yeah. Only the devil would like us to live a life chained and enslaved to what he says. Jesus wants us to live the way he says, and he can do it. We can do it. Let's move on. Number five, it is translated. So here we see it's covetous, it's concupiscence, and here we see in some passages, it's translated lust in these passages in the New Testament, Galatians 5, 16 and 17. Same word of concupiscence we've been hearing about.
This I say, then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would.
Okay, thank you. Paul's pretty clear here in Galatians that if I continue to consider and meditate on these things, the sinful desires and sinful relationships and so forth, what is he saying that I can't do if I do that? I can't walk in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't have control of me, and he's not going to get it until I relinquish that to him. James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15.
Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death.
Okay, thank you. James chapter 1 says, if I continue down the path and I continue with this in mind, I can't blame somebody else. I have to take the blame myself. I'm accountable for it, man or woman. I'm accountable for that. 1 John chapter 2, 16 and 17 also talks about that.
For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Okay, thank you very much. So there, that word, lust, it translated lust, shows us that it only ends in destruction. It passes away. It's nothing lasting. If we follow the will of God, it's lasting. It's lasting. Hey, praise God for that. Amen. Praise God for that. And let's be examples of that, but also be willing to share, you know, this is the way to go in life. Here's the path to destruction. And when those moments come, be willing to share a thought of that. The path of immorality in sexual matters is, as we've reached these different terms, is this. Starts in concupiscence, continues in lasciviousness. Number 3, fornication. We talked about that already. And then adultery. We want to avoid those wrong morals in order to help honor God in our life. Next week, I promise, I got some good news for you. I promise some good stuff. And we can move on. But it's good to know that this is a process. You know, these things that happen, they happen in a process. And if we understand, we can stop it here. We don't have to worry about over here. Let's go ahead and find a partner. Let's pray.